Today's reading from the story is chapter 24, excerpts from Matthew, John, and Mark. As Jesus began to travel and teach, it soon became clear he spoke with unusual authority. One day he taught his disciples, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Jesus helped people reinterpret the Ten Commandments in light of God's loving intention. Then he said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus told people to put God first. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well." Jesus' most widely witnessed miracle proved this. Thousands of people had gathered to hear Jesus teach and see him heal sick people miraculously. As evening came on, the disciples urged Jesus to send the hungry crowd away. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll admit, I was stuck this week on what to preach today. That's probably why that book kept coming to mind. This book we've been reading, this book, The Story, that's taken the Bible and put it in chronological order for us. We're on chapter 24. We've got 23 last week. We're on 24 this week. It's called No Ordinary Man. And it's good, but it takes these snippets from the Bible, and it invites us to know more about Jesus. This week we get these snippets of stories about Jesus' life. And we had the teaching by the lake and the crowds that were so huge that Jesus retreated onto a boat. We get the parables, stories told to the people that are supposed to have deeper meaning, that we're supposed to decipher and filter through. And then we get these stories of walking examples of how to live. If you're hungry, Jesus said, "I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go eat with these people, even if it's a table full of sinners." And he reminds them, if you never go out beyond the group of people you're with, you're never going to get to know the other people, and therefore you will never bring them in to the circle of God. Jesus describes it as the kingdom of God, I like to think of it as like the realm of God. I don't know, the word difference makes it for me. But he calls it this kingdom of God, and he says, in this place you do not have to worry. There's a story, we didn't hear it today, but maybe you've read it before. It's about two sons, right? One son stays, and one son went away, asking for half of the inheritance from his dad, and he goes and he squanders it, and he eats with pigs, and he comes home. We like to call him the prodigal son, right? There's this time, there's other stories about this time, like when an expert in the law came to Jesus and asked Jesus very difficult questions, not because he wanted to learn, but because he wanted to test Jesus to see if he was really a good Jewish boy who knew all the stories, right? And who are you if you're just a Jewish boy or something more? He tried to entrap him. But Jesus told a story of a man that was on the side of the road that needed aid and made him an example, told him about how to care for neighbor without the distinction of characteristics. And then Susanna read for us the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Beatitudes, right? Where Jesus outlines these core values in God's realm. He tries to turn upside down this, I have to go back to it. He tries to turn upside down this whole idea of how we're supposed to live, right? It doesn't start that way. Why does mine start that way? Blessed are those who are weak, right? Blessed are those who are mourning right now, for you will find joy. And blessed are you who are broken. I've always read it as like, here's a list of all the people who think that God has left them. And here's all the reasons why God hasn't left you. And it's not over yet. There's these stories about how God wants to turn our lives upside down, and how even if you think that you've been blessed with a lot today, then maybe you've had yours. But if you haven't had enough yet, if you're one who doesn't have enough, has little hope, little life, little food, little things, that's a temporary. That's not a sign of God not blessing you or judging you. It's a sign of God loving you, and that maybe you're rich in something else, like spiritual wealth. And maybe your time is yet to come. If you're in a different church this morning who's following the common lectionary, something we usually do, this 3-year cycle of going all the way through the Bible, people who are sitting in those churches today are hearing about this encounter that Jesus had with a man who was blind, and Jesus used mud and spit, right? And the guy could see. So it's funny because I get stuck in that muck, right? Again, right? On that mud and the spit. Jesus didn't need mud or spit to put on that guy's eyes. The healing didn't come from which components made up the mud that day, right? Too much sand, not enough gravel. I don't know, right? The healing came from Jesus. You know the problem, though, with that healing? It happened on the Sabbath day. Yeah, I know, we talked about that last week, right? Jesus not listening to the boundaries for which ministry was supposed to take place. There's other examples of how Jesus was active in healing people. Remember the woman that dared to reach out and touch the cloak of Jesus, and he stops in this crowd of people walking and says, Who reached out and dared to touch my cloak? And she thought she was in trouble, right? But she kind of didn't care, because at that point, there was nothing but hope left, right? And Jesus heals her. He said, your faith has already healed you and made you well. Yeah. This chapter is too short for all the stories of Jesus, right? And it's even missing some of the big ones that we think we've probably heard before or think everyone should know, right? But yet it still was full of miracles and rebuking forces of nature, right? He told the wind to stop and the waves to die down, right? Imagine if that was happening today, right? No sleet, yeah, right? He was holding people accountable and keeping company with people that God loved, but maybe other people didn't love so much, right? Jesus knew God and wanted to follow God and wanted others to get there too. I think the opportunity from this chapter for us is to be reminded of this upper story of God, right? We keep hearing every week about this upper story, how God wants to be in relationship with the people. And how is God going to get back to the people, right? God created Adam and Eve, and that was beautiful. And then it wasn't. Right? And then God had like Moses who led the people, and it was beautiful, and they were going to the promised land, and then it wasn't. Right? So it's this story of back and forth about how God is trying to get back with God's people. But this week, that upper story, last week when Jesus was born, right, that upper story of God comes down and becomes the lower story. It's not just Adam and Eve's story or Moses' story or even Jesus or Mary's story. Now it's God in the form of man called Jesus inviting people to know God better. It took this mystery God and put it into something, a form that was understandable, flesh, walking flesh, something for people to encounter. Jesus in human form, this upper story making a grand scene in the lower story, and this time our lower story's main character is Jesus. And Jesus set about to heal people, to love people, to feed people, right? Oh, when Jesus started healing, it says in one of these stories that they all just came. They came from everywhere, right? Because they heard this was the one who could heal them. We get to hear about how God's physical presence has made a difference in the life of people. But we don't just talk about the upper story where God fits in, or the lower story, this one about Jesus. We are invited to think about how that affects our personal story. When Susanna read those stories today, did anything sound familiar to you? Not just because you've heard it before, but because maybe it connects in your own story. Can you imagine listening to someone argue with the priests? Where would you sit that day? Right? Can you imagine listening to one son say, "Dad, give me all mine. I'm going to go for it." Right? Could you imagine being a servant in that household and watching how the dad reacted and cared for the kid? Could you imagine yourself as the older son, the one who always stayed, right? I did everything for you, and now I'm out in the field and I see that my brother came home and you threw him a party? Ah. We're invited to get a glimpse of how we're to live as God's people when we hear about how Jesus walked around with the disciples, praying, sending them to collect lunches to share with others, inviting God to multiply what was before them so that all would have enough. I think that many people understand God better because of Jesus. In fact, some people only spend their time in the gospel stories. That's where they connect with their faith. They want to live like he did, right? Maybe not renouncing demons or getting rid of all of their possessions, but maybe accepting the hospitality of strangers and being kind and offering healing, even if it was outside the bounds. But what about you? What do these stories of Jesus do for you? Now, in a couple weeks, we're going to be through all of these stories, right? We're on 24, and we get to 31, right? We're going to be through all of them. We're going to get through this part where God's work is completed, as Jesus said, it is finished, right, with Good Friday and Jesus dying on a cross. And some people will get stuck there. I know it because I've talked to many people who get stuck there on the salvation of Jesus dying on the cross, and why did Jesus have to die for our sins, and why did God need that to reconcile us? And some people will get stuck there for a day or for a week or just the weekend because Easter comes, right? Shortly after that. And some people will get stuck on Easter. Jesus is the risen Lord. The tomb is empty. And some people love to just live in that space. I tell my children, we are Easter people. And they say, okay, are there bunnies and candy? Yeah. No. Bunnies and candy. But I have to take Jesus off the cross. I can't leave him there. I have to live with this idea that there is hope beyond death. And that hope comes through our ascended Lord. So I wonder, if you were so bold and we had all the time in the world and I asked you, Where are you stuck? And what kind of push do you need? Or are you one that's like the little blue truck? You've got it figured out, and you can come and offer a hand. Do you struggle with not having enough, or not being enough, or not feeling enough, or not connected enough? When you hear the scripture about Jesus telling us not to worry about anything, can you really hear that? And can you turn from a scarcity mindset, even if only in one aspect of your life, to an abundance mindset? I've got enough. Are you stuck in that story about the three people who saw that man on the side of the road? One of them was a priest and he didn't even help him. He crossed the road because he was busy, right? Do you get stuck on people in positions not acting the way you expect them to act? Are you stuck on what's asked of you? Have you felt a call? Have you felt yourself taxed too heavy or asked to offer more than you can? Do you wish you could just eat your lunch alone and enjoy your loaves and fishes without having to share just once? Yeah. I invite you to think about that this week. I hope you're not stuck. But if you are, where are you stuck in your journey of faith? I hope it's not in a blizzard. And if it is, that you went potty before you left. And then I invite you to pray. Pray your way out of it if that works. Pray in your questions. Pray about being unstuck, or pray in thanksgiving that being stuck isn't so bad. Pray for Jesus to show up, or an ambassador of Jesus to show up and to help you, so that you can continue to be the light of the world, that light which Christ has put in each of our hearts and asked us to shine in the darkness, so that we can all move forward and be ready for Easter. Oh, what a day that'll be. With God's help, may it be so. Amen. A very